welcome to Knit Spirit. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 76, The Circular Cast-On. On this show, I sometimes talk about Grace, and she's my guardian angel. And what's on the needles? Let's see. I'm doing the Secret Garden shawl, and the yarn did show up, and I promptly lost the first skein. Well, I'd done the first clue and then lost the first skein. So another skein is on order. I'm going to have to do that one after the knit along, but I have a different yarn that also from the Unique Sheep that I'm doing with the knit along with, and I'm having a good time with it. They dyed for me a special colorways. They have it on their website now. It's called I'll Be Back, and it's based on the Terminator universe. So it's a gunmetal silver and shades of black, and then bits of red for the eyes, and it's a lot of fun. It's really cool. I've been doing the shawl with that. So far, I've kept up, but today we got the big clue. So I have 2 weeks to knit it. I'm hoping I can actually get it done in time. I'm really big about keeping up with knit alongs. I don't know why. It's this mental thing with me. I feel like if I'm doing the knit along behind, then it's just a pattern and a kit, and there's no point to it being a knit along. I have to be doing it along. And I know a lot of other knitters feel differently, and your mileage may vary, but that's just how I am with them. But the shawl got me looking into the various forms of the circular cast-on. And this one starts with a chain stitch, you join in the round, and then you pick up stitches, which has a hole in the center. There are other options if you want to avoid a hole in the center, and the simplest is to do a provisional cast-on, kind of like you would do for taupe socks. And then after you've gotten a few rows done, you can Kitchener it. Or you can cast on 4 stitches and then just work your increases until you get to the point you want. Or you can cast on normally, which leaves a hole. But the true circular cast on, there's a few versions of it, but it's the same thing. You're just using different tools. You make a loop, and one version is with a crochet hook. You open the loop onto 2 fingers, and then you stick the crochet hook into the loop, grab a strand, pull it through, and then from the outside, grab a strand, put it on the hook, and then do that back and forth until you get to the number you want. So effectively, the last one is a yarn over. If it is an even number, you're going to have to leave off the last one, and then when you start knitting, start with a yarn over to end the prior row. That exact same thing can be done with a knitting needle. You're making a loop and you're just putting the needle through as to knit. Knit a stitch, yarn over, knit a stitch, yarn over, and keep this up for the exact same logic. Or, also with the crochet hook, you make the same loop. You go into the loop with your crochet hook, grab a strand, pull it through, and then chain one into that strand. And you do that back and forth until such time as you have all the stitches you want. Then you don't have to worry about where you're going to end, whether you have an odd number or an even number, because it's held pretty securely by that chain. And with any of these, when you're done, you just pull the loop at the end and tighten the whole thing up. And it impresses me how many different ways there are to get to the exact same thing in knitting. And they're thought of differently. Different knitters will favor one over the other because of ease or because it looks a little bit nicer in terms of the hole or not hole, or in terms of whether you're going to have the chain one or not the chain one in the center. But it's achieving the same thing. There's just so many options. And I love that in knitting, that there's just so many right ways to do a simple thing. And in religion, too, I think there's a lot of ways to do the right thing, or a lot of ways to come to the right place, which I think is also kind of interesting. And it goes back to a discussion I was having this week. A friend of mine asked who the Pharisees were. And this friend's very interested in politics, so I kind of linked it to modern-day politics. I said they were pretty much your ultra-conservatives. And it's interesting because you've got 3 groups in the ancient, well, first century Palestinian world. You've got, if you want to put it in a political context, you've got the conservatives, and that would be stuff like the Pharisees. They would be the ones who say, well, this is how the law is written. This is what we are told to do. This is, we're going to follow the very letter of the law. It is not going to, there's no reason to change or diverge from how things were done for centuries. Then you've got Jesus and his camp. And I think mistakenly applied the term of liberal to him, but he's more, I think, of a moderate. Because at points he does say no, none of the law will be changed until the smallest jot is fulfilled. But he does take a more liberal stance than the Pharisees. He, in the story with going into the fields and picking on the Sabbath, he's less interested in the letter of the law than the spirit of the law. He's interested in some amount of loosening up the scriptures there. He's interested in some amount of staying away from the exact, this is how it was done for centuries, so this is how we're going to keep doing it. The story with the man and his bed, it was told to carry his bed home on Shabbos, or the story, and here I'll say erroneous, where he talks about, is it wrong to heal on the Sabbath? Well, of course, it never has been thought to be wrong to heal on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees wouldn't have said that either, wouldn't have said that it was, but this was the idea of just to make a point. A lot of things were kind of put into their mouths, and that's going to happen pretty much throughout as you're going to follow any sort of either religious or political debate, where people are just going to exaggerate the other guy's point of view. But the extreme liberal side, you get Hillel, and he has a rather famous story, and this is interesting because this is really where the golden rule comes from. It is misascribed and it is misquoted. A Gentile went to Hillel and said, if you can teach me all of Torah while standing on one foot, I will convert and become a Jew. This is obviously an apocryphal story. It's not true. But Hillel stood up on one foot and said, that which is hateful to you, you shall not do to someone else. All of the rest is commentary on this. Now go and learn. I actually like that phrasing a little bit better than do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I mean, think about it. If you're a knitter, how would you feel if somebody came to your house and dumped 20 pounds of hand-dyed lace weight cashmere, assuming you knit lace? Hey, that would be a cool thing. You'd certainly have someone do that unto you. Are you going to want to do that unto someone who doesn't knit? I mean, it's more a matter of do unto others as they would want done unto them. And I know some people who would be very pissed off if someone walked up to them or walked into their house with a huge bag of hand-dyed lace weight cashmere or hand-dyed cashmere of any sort and left it in their house and said, here, you go figure out what to do with it. And I can't picture too many knitters would be upset with that. But getting back to the multiple cast-ons, as it were, multiple ways of approaching a single problem, I think that might be why there are so many compelling and interesting religions and forms of religions in the world. I think that's because we need, each of us as knitters, as souls, need to cast on a little bit differently. There are going to be some who want to do a chain stitch and then pick up stitches around, and there are going to be some to whom Judaism is going to sound really interesting. There are going to be some who would rather do a provisional cast on and then graft, and there's going to be some who will feel their soul's call to Catholicism. And I think they're almost a parallel thing. They're different ways to approach starting a circular shawl and different ways to approach God. And when I get to that, I kind of start to wonder if it, I know my cast on method is right for me, but I kind of start to wonder if there aren't little bips and bops of information I can pull from other cast ons. And I know I've pulled a lot of bips and bobs from Catholicism. I've said a few times, I've made my own version of the rosary. I like a lot of what Catholicism has in its trappings, and I try to adapt it to my own spiritual practice. And I think I want to start looking a little further afield of Judaism to see what other kinds of bips and bobs of information I can pull from other traditions. So over the next couple of episodes, I'm going to be talking about stuff like Buddhism, like Shinto, like Islam, like just a variety of traditions and religious practices that people have found valuable and a way to connect to God, or in the case of Shinto, multiple gods. In the case of Buddhism, Buddha, of course, but he is considered, I think, a deity. I know almost nothing about the faith, so I really do need to learn quite a lot. But I think it's just worthwhile sometimes just to look at what else is out there and see if there are other tools to use to connect, because the center of the shawl is really going to be the most noticeable part of it, and the most noticeable or the most important part of us humans is going to be the center of us as well, our souls. So it's just sort of the quest I'm on this week, and probably for the next many weeks. And if you've been following me on Twitter or trying to read my blog, and I feel like I seem like I vanished off the face of the earth, I apologize. It's only because I vanished off the face of the earth. Just a lot of stuff has come up this week. I've been in the process of decluttering a lot of my house because every so often it hits the point where it's like, okay, do I really need 2,000 books? I don't think so. And I start getting rid of a bunch of them, and then it's like one thing leads to another, and next thing I know, I'm in the back of the closet looking at yarn that I haven't touched in 20 years and thinking, maybe this can leave already. So that's pretty much been part of what my week has been. And then I've had just a lot of stuff come down at work, which has had me doing stuff, work stuff at home. I do a combination of things. I do some programming, some technical writing, some technical support, some customer support, and some training. So I'm kind of like, whatever they feel like throwing me at for the week is what I do, which makes for an odd job description. But this week has been almost exclusively customer support and technical support because we've got a lot of clients moving to the new version of our product, and we've had a lot of nervous clients that have wanted a lot of hand-holding. And I get to be the one that does most of the hand-holding, largely because when somebody has asked the 19th time, so I move the files into that folder? Yes. Okay, I move the files into that folder. I move the files into that folder? Most of my coworkers are ready to scream, and I'm sitting there knitting a sock saying, yes, of course you move the files into that folder. I can do this 30 times because I've got my sock in my hand. So they pretty much dump a lot of the handhold clients on me. So I've been doing a lot of that this week. And I have been working on a novel, and a publisher had asked a while ago actually for a rewrite. And I have been pushing that, I think, a little bit too much to the back when I need to be working on it. There's a lot of important writing projects I really need to be dealing with. So what time I have had, I've been dealing with that, and I haven't been blogging, and I haven't been Twittering. And I do promise to get better about that this week. I'm hoping to get up at least 3 or 4 blog entries and to be on Twitter for a couple hours a day every day. So I will try to unfall off the face of the earth. But that should wrap us up for this time. If you are celebrating Shavuos, have a wonderful holiday. And until next time, be blessed and keep knitting.